Apparently, everyone's running around saying, I drink your milkshake now.
What's that from?
From There Will Be Blood at the end with the drainage.
Right.
Drainage! You have a milkshake, I have a milkshake.
But I mean, why?
I take a straw because it's just because everyone's just digging
that. Are you
sure
everyone's saying that?
Dude, it's become like a pop thing, like on the net. You should know with your Dramatica garbage. Welcome to Feudal Podcast. We're going to talk about animal films, which I took to mean movies where sort of the main character could be an animal in some respect. The two films I watched are two I own. One is the 1988 film called The Bear. I think its original title is in French because it was maybe French-Canadian, I'm not sure. And The Black Stallion from 1979. So those are the two films I'm going to talk about. I'm not sure what Captain Zach's going to talk about, or you always got stuff written on your hand, don't you?
Oh yeah, this is a variety of. If I don't do this, I forget.
But don't you like wash your hands 3 times during the day? And then
I do, but and you then know what? You I actually it. Try not to wash this part of it.
I mean, think about it though. Like any movie where like I came up with two that I just had, I actually owned two. I realized when I thought about it. You know, I just you know.
Uh huh.
I'm at a loss.
The only reason this animal thing was suggested is because Rachel said something about wanting to do a podcast, and I said, okay, what movies do you want to talk about? She said, why does it have to be about movies? And I said, that's the whole point. And she said, why can't it be about animals? And I said, okay. And I wrote to you and said animal movies. And I don't think she really cares about animals.
You said the term Blaine figured out to do an animal movie.
Blaine had a brain trust. Yeah, it was a brain trust. And then Blaine was acting like he was going to be involved. And then he was like, I'm not coming. So my favorite animal movie is The Edge.
The Edge? Oh, you know... The bear from The Bear, Bart the Bear, the Kodiak Bear, is in The Edge. I was going to say that. But that's a good, that's relevant, because the bear is kind of, would you call the bear the antagonist of that film? In a weird way it is, because if you negate the Alec Baldwin character, who I think is pretty negatable.
Yeah, you don't even know really till the end that he's the antagonist, so.
But even so, it's the whole thing with his supermodel wife.
It's just the wife thing. That's it. Yeah. Otherwise, he's not an antagonist.
Not really.
They're kind of like buddies.
But it's nature, and Bart is sort of the personifies. Or he bear-fonifies.
He bear-sonifies.
Bear-sonifies. Nature. Crossing out your notes.
The problem with animal movies.
This was other notes.
You know, I really like Babe. Babe is good. Mm-hmm. Babe 2.
That's right, the two Babe movies. And they fit some stuff I was talking about in my overriding theme of animal movies.
What animal movies you
did you actually really like Babe 2?
Yeah, Babe was great.
The first Babe, didn't it win Best Picture?
The second one was awesome. It was nominated.
Yeah. George Miller.
Babe, yeah, he wrote the first one.
I'll drive that tank.
He directed the second one. The second one was actually really good. It's very dark. Pig in the City.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about.
I haven't seen it.
I actually never saw that one.
I saw the first one.
Gotta be honest. His first one was good.
I didn't see the new Charlotte's Web. I've always liked the book.
I just saw the cartoon. I didn't watch the new
cartoon
movie that they just came out with.
Circle of Life and all that.
What about animal porn?
No, that will not be discussed.
I don't know anything about it. I'm just
terrible thing. Yeah, right. You probably looked it up with old men.
You don't want to talk about Zoo, the documentary about the guy that got killed having sex with a horse?
Is that a real documentary?
Check it out. Check Zoo. Go IMDb.
I don't want to look up Zoo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had heard about it. I had heard about something like that. It sounded awful. I was going to talk about
Clerks 2.
Clerks 2. I was going to talk about the animal Rob Schneider for
a solid
25 minutes at least.
You could talk about that for 25 minutes.
No.
Let's do it.
See, I wrote it like just to remind myself.
Oh no,
of the joke.
There's animalistic things in it.
Of course there is.
He has sex with a goat.
There's animalistic things in a lot of things.
Yeah,
he does. He does. There's bestiality. Yeah, he does have sex with a goat.
I've never actually seen it. I
saw it, and I don't remember it, but I'm trying to make myself remember in the end, just like in Young Frankenstein, the girlfriend goes, so is there any of the animalistic things left in you? And his eyes pop out big and he goes, and rolls over on her. That just happened in Young Frankenstein, but I imagine it happened to the animal, too. No, no, it didn't. The girl who was in the animal.
Did you not remember the end?
Does he really,
they
like,
end up
like
having
huge...
kids that are all, like, crazy.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with him having a raging Frankenstein boner.
Probably did have a raging horse boner. I don't know.
How would you know what that is? You know what? I have a funny story about that. So,
picking one brain out here.
My friends, the McCools, were kids traveling cross country somewhere. And they stop and they look at some horses out in a field.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the kids, they're very little, one of the kids asks, Mommy, that kid is giving birth. Or that horse is giving birth. And she says, no, it's not. And he says, what is it? And she says, never mind, get in the car. And then they like basically broke away from their parents to run away to look at this thing. And they realized it wasn't a kid when, after a while, it started to go back up. But he said it was like monstrously huge. And
that's where they get the expression hung like a horse.
You don't have to tell me.
Everything's about proportions.
You know, yeah, that's the thing. Because if you stood a horse up on its hind legs, it would be like 10 feet tall. That's not true. I don't know how tall would it be.
It'd be pretty damn
tall, right?
It'd be
so yeah, that's about right. Walruses or something.
Everything,
like manatees. There's something that has like
everything's wave. Everything's equipped with what it needs to do what it needs. Otherwise, that creature wouldn't still be alive.
Right.
Yeah. Well, elephants actually have huge penises because the other elephant is so big, it has to be really long to be able to even.
It's natural selection.
Exactly.
Selection.
Compensation.
The largest of the wienered elephants continues to procreate.
Yeah.
And the ones who need extends and various other enhancement materials and who can't get such materials are then destined to not mate and just live out their days as an old maid.
And die.
Miserable and alone.
Yep.
Without sex.
It happens. So, animal movies. Did you just make yourself depressed?
I've been depressed all day. I have no money. My wife has no money. I was going to borrow some of her money to buy her Valentine's Day stuff. There's no money. There's no money to borrow from her.
Yeah, but you have love, right?
I won't go so far.
Pick flowers.
I was even going to buy you a flower because we have single flowers at Kmart and we have no money now. I was going to buy you a flower with, like, a little smart-ass card, like, hey, man, there's somebody out there for you.
F you.
I was seriously going to do that. I was going to be all nice about it and stuff. So, animal movies.
My personal favorite is Milo and Otis.
That's an awesome movie.
My favorite movie.
I like that one because there's a narrator.
Yes. But there's no talking. Yeah. The narrator talks for
exactly,
the creatures.
Exactly.
And it takes a while to get over that.
What are you doing sniffing there, said Milo. Otis said, none of your damn business, Milo.
Otis.
And it's a little journey, right? Like they're little farm animals.
That's a good one. Have you ever seen Homeward Bound? The original, or the second one. The first one is the
Homeward Bound
journey.
Is so good.
Homeward Bound is awesome.
And they're then, all, these are journey
Incredible
pictures,
Journey
though, right?
Is the first one.
Yeah.
There was an old Far Side panel that, what's his name? What's the Far Side? Gary Larson. There was one called The Incredible Journey, like, 5 or something like that. It just said The Incredible Journey 5. And it was, like, a squid, a walrus, a cow, and they're all, like, going across a field, like, toward a mountain. Like, they're trying to get back home. This one, because it was, like, you know, I think it was right after the second one came out. But,
yeah.
But those are good movies. I really liked those.
Those are road pictures. Those are...
they are, definitely.
They're traveling, yeah. And they're about companionship and all sorts of other things. That
Homeward Bound is the one that has Michael J. Fox in it, right?
He plays
the voice
of
Chance, and then Don Amici is the older dog.
I don't remember Michael J. Fox.
And then
home.
Sally Field is the cat.
Sally Field
yeah,
is the cat?
Yeah, she's the cat.
That's awesome.
And the dad of the family who decides they're, you know, I'm going to help these kids find the dog. He's the stepdad, and they don't quite trust him yet, but he
yeah.
decides he's going to help them out, and they end up trusting him in the end. And it's the dad, it's the guy from Airplane who has a drinking problem.
I just call him Stryker.
Stryker, that's right. Stryker.
Have you seen Airplane?
No.
It's pretty funny. I have that on DVD too. You can borrow it sometime if you want.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good movie.
It's pretty good.
Have you ever seen, well, okay, let's talk about The Crocodile Hunter for a minute. So, a couple years ago, Crocodile Hunter was gunned down in a hail of bullets and passed on to the next world. And Rachel cried.
was a sad day. It was September 4th of 2006, to be precise.
She just told me earlier, though, that she liked the Crocodile Hunter movie, which I heard was really, really awful. What happens in the Crocodile Hunter movie?
I just like the Crocodile Hunter. It had absolutely nothing to do with the movie. Actually, I don't specifically remember what happened in the movie.
Isn't it like he talks to the camera the whole movie, like they're actually filming him in the show? Yet there's like this whole thing about like jewel thieves, and then like there is. Like, that's not what it's something like that. Yeah.
I was hoping you could give a review of it right Steve. Now. No, sorry, I can't. I can tell you what happens in other movies.
All I know is he named his daughter after his crocodile. In the zoo, which is stupid.
He also, which I just found out, was as you know, brave and stuff as he was terrified of parrots.
Not stingrays?
Absolutely terrified of parrots, not stingrays.
Terrified of parrots?
Yeah.
Seriously?
What a weird your eyes thing. Out or
yeah,
something.
What a weird thing to be terrified of.
I kind
of
afraid of snakes.
I've seen a little bit. Australia has some of the most poisonous snakes in the world, and like they
poisonous
shows,
things in the world, well, jellyfish,
the snakes
and...
especially. They had like 8 of the most of the 10 most poisonous snakes in the world there.
Yeah.
And he would like go up behind them. They're like inches away from him. He's like, "Hey, look at this snake!" Like kicking him and like making them snap at him and stuff. Like, "Yeah, no big deal." And then like he's afraid of parrots.
It's the strangest stuff, man.
I know what's really sad about the guy is that they say if he had just let the barb in, so the stingray stabs him in the heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he went to pull it out,
if he hadn't pulled it out. It wouldn't have, because he basically shredded his heart open, because it's the barb thing where it goes in like this, and then it opens, like if you pull it back, it just ripped his heart open, and he bled to death. So they said they could have surgically removed it, he would have been fine, probably.
But you panic.
Yeah.
You know, I probably would have done the same thing.
Well, you think that out of all people, he would have panicked, but he didn't have, I guess, you know.
It's more not thinking.
It's a medical thing.
See, like, I wouldn't have panicked, but I would have done that, because I just would have been like, okay, this needs to go.
It's practical to pull it out.
Exactly.
Well, it's the same reason why you don't pull out an arrow. Like, if an arrow goes partially through you, you're supposed to, like, push it through, basically, because it's...
Which you probably learned from, like, 1960s Westerns and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, you know, two mules for Sister Sarah and something like that, right?
You yank it from the other side,
You give someone a stick and a glass of whiskey, and they do it.
Okay. You pour a little whiskey on the wound, then you drink the rest of it, and you're good to go.
Give them a bullet to chew on or whatever. Yeah.
I would definitely be drinking the whiskey before they
pull. Or you could pull them a nice light blue martini. And just see where it goes from there. So you got an extra hole now. I was thinking maybe we could that sort of thing.
Because of the arrow hole?
Because the arrow.
Okay.
It's pretty thin, and I'm kind of not very well hung, so maybe we could...
There's been 3 films that were canine-based, right, though? One with Chuck Norris, Top Dog.
Yeah. Canine. Turner and Hooch. And those, there's probably more than that, but there's those are the main three. That
and those
are, like,
the,
really
those are the
cop and,
cop,
dog,
and
a,
cop and dog.
Cop and dog combinations.
Okay, at least we covered those. Boom, that's out.
Yeah, that's out there.
So
I didn't see the Garfield movies. That's fake animals anyway.
Yeah. Did you see this one? I saw the bear. Have you seen this one? It's like almost no talking, which is another one of those.
I saw the bear when
I liked.
First came out.
I saw it at the theaters. Yeah, I remember.
And I don't remember.
Is that the
about
one
it.
Where the
It's the little the little mom, cub mom, and the mom dies and then his dad.
That's
and,
the
and,
only and, part I remember that movie is when the mama bear dies.
The ending is actually the best part of that movie. The ending I know it has
what
to
happens
do,
in the end.
Well, there's this before
I'm not going to watch.
Yeah, okay.
Neither is Rachel.
Doesn't matter. Other people listening should watch it. Okay, so it's set in 1885, British Columbia. There's these trappers
or BC if you prefer.
1885 BC, with these guys, and they're time traveling, like bear hunting trappers, and they have guns and everything, and dogs, and they hunt after these bears, and so this cub ends up orphaned, and through
does it make cute bear noises all throughout?
Yeah, it makes all these like.
They probably had to coerce the bear into making.
You know, I don't know if it was possibly it was ADR'd and fake. I think it was fully.
There's some 65-year-old fat bald guy going.
No, I just did some of it. Yeah, it you know, and yeah. I didn't even try that hard. You know, I could try harder to sound more like a tiny little bear cub. No, that was the kind of sounds it made because it was just it was so vulnerable, and that's kind of the big point that has to do with the ending of it.
Ian, how was that again? How did the point of the bear sound like?
It was like. No. It was doing a lot.
Yeah, they huff a lot.
They huff. Well, the big ones go. Especially when it was having sex with that other female bear. Anyway, so it was essentially lone bear and cub. Because at a certain point, the big bear is like fishing and sort of teaching the little bear how to fish. It teaches it how to hunt these elk.
Very good. Very good.
And all kinds of other stuff. Eventually, the trappers catch the little bear to use it as like a to lure the big bear in. And this altercation happens with one of the trappers and the big bear. And it's like a lesson in diplomacy, kind of. It's not, but it's the big bear essentially lets this guy live.
Mm-hmm.
Just decides, you know what, I don't need to kill you. And so then the guy decides he doesn't need to kill it later. And it's kind of this, you know, saccharine thing. But at the end of the movie, there's this this scene where the little cub is kind of off on its own because it hasn't reconnected with the big bear yet, and you don't know if it's going to, and, you know, winter's starting to come, and it's time to hibernate, and it's all off on its own. It's going to die if it can't reconnect. And then a cougar comes after it. And I'll leave that for
Freddy
the audience. Freddy Krueger comes after it. Time-traveling Freddy Krueger comes after this little cub in 1885 BC as winter approaches. And if you want to check it out, check it out. It's called The Bear. Because the ending is something I really like.
You know what's really good?
The lesson in the ending, or the sort of point.
Benji the Hunted is a really good movie.
I don't think I've seen that.
Benji the Hunted is awesome.
You want to finish this one? Because I'm not going to drink it anymore.
I'm not touching anything your mouth is on.
I think it's been antiseptified.
Really? By what?
By
the alcohol.
The alcohol and the antiseptic.
I'll drink it.
I'm kind of skeptical that there was alcohol in this. Benji the Hunted is cool because, as I'm looking back on the...
Is that where he's like in the nature and like there's cougars chasing after him and stuff, huh?
Yeah, there's cougars.
Is that the one where he takes care of baby lion cubs?
He ends up taking care of the four mountain lion cubs, yeah.
And does he teach him how to do abortions and everything? It's a South Park reference.
That's terrible.
It was really terrible.
Yeah, there's a really sad scene in Benji the Hunted when Eagle carries off one of the
and he's all sad.
Yeah, super sad, yeah. But it's weird, like, Benji the Hunted was like the 7th or 8th, let's see, 1,
really?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, the 8th of the Benji movies, and the last before 2004.
Wow.
But yeah, they were all made since like the 70s and stuff, and those were actually...
There was that many Benji movies?
Yeah, there were a lot of Benji movies, a couple more TV movies, but...
Such a mutt, good little mutt.
Speaking of bears again, we already talked about The Edge and stuff, but Legend of the Fall... By the way, Legends of the Fall is a really terrible movie. I hate it.
I've never seen it. It looks long and kind of...
It's long. So here's what it's about. There's a point at the end of this. It has to do with animals. Don't worry. So Anthony Hopkins is this guy who fought in the American Indian War or whatever. Some American Indian Wars.
Well, wait a minute. That would have been with Andrew Jackson?
Something like that.
So this is like 1840 or something like that?
It's set in the early 1900s now. He's older now.
Gosh, that sounds wrong then.
So basically has three sons. The oldest is very responsible, good person. The youngest is, which is Aidan Quinn. The youngest is Henry Thomas, E.T. guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's...
And Brad Pitt's like the middle
Brad
one?
Brad Pitt's the middle one. And he's the guy who no one can rely on because he just follows his own whim. And he's beautiful. And he has long, flowing hair.
He
hangs out with the Indians who Anthony Hopkins has working for him, who are his buddies. They're not slaves because he's really pro-Indian. And anyway, so the youngest one ends up bringing home his fiance, which is Julia Ormond or whatever her name is. And... she ends up falling in love with Brad Pitt, of course.
Who wouldn't?
Exactly. That's the problem with this movie. So, while she's already engaged to this guy, they get married, whatever. Or they're not married yet. He decides to go off to World War I. In World War I, all three brothers, so then Brad Pitt, who's like protective over Henry Thomas, decides to go after him and watch over him. And Aidan Quinn decides he should go too, because it's a responsible thing to do. Henry Thomas ends up getting killed. Shot up by some Germans, right? And Brad Pitt goes crazy and, like, cuts out his heart and, like, sends it back to his dad because that's how the Indians bury it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he decides to just wander around. And the woman's heartbroken. While she's gone, he comes back and they have to make a little love and stuff, blah, blah, blah. Brad Pitt's, like, the most flighty, like, it's ridiculous. It's like a romance novel. Like, the whole movie is like a romance novel except for he's, like, even less responsible or respectable than like a Fabio type character in a romance novel.
I don't. I've never read a romance. I'm not going.
You're
to
lost.
Read, yeah,
you're
I know.
Lost.
Should I'll give you one.
You have some.
Oh, I'll read a romance novel if you watch the first 13 episodes of Samurai Jack.
I'll so do that.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think you're gonna do it.
Okay. You're getting off point. Legends of the Fall.
Oh, we just about to start the Larry David thing, though.
Basically, the whole point of the movie is everyone Brad Pitt loves ends up dying. Mm-hmm. Everyone. So he ends up outliving his kids, his wife, blah, blah, blah. The very end of the movie, there's an old guy.
Yeah, but he's been flighty the whole time, so he's never really been that connected. It's the heat, it's the heat thing, right? It's the don't get yourself attached to anything 30 seconds.
That's just a terrible movie. Okay. At the end,
the heat was awesome.
The narrator, who's an Indian guy, goes, Brad Pitt decided he was going to wander the hills. And then, that's my best Indian impression. Mm-hmm. Sorry,
I'm sure his name wasn't Brad Pitt in the movie.
Did he call him Swimming Bird?
No, it was like Joaquin or...
It wasn't Swimming Bird.
He said...
Squatting Dog.
He goes off and he decides to just be a hunter the rest of his days or whatever. He runs, basically, at the end of the movie, he's old, he's in his late 70s, but he's got like... He looks like Chris Christopherson, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes across a bear. And they shoot it in this, like... They cut out, like... They're skipping frames to make it look like all...
Choppy?
Yeah, like super, super choppy, so that you can't tell that this guy isn't Brad Pitt,
oh.
You know, because he's way, way older. And this bear basically eats him, like, you know, eats his head. The bear kills him, and at the end, like, it basically shows this bear, like, mid-killing Brad Pitt character, and it freeze frames. And then he
like, freeze frames like the end of Chips?
And, yeah, and the Indian goes, it was a good death, or something like that. And so
honorable, probably.
No, he says it was a good death. He says it was a good death, basically.
It wouldn't be honorable, actually.
But, no, how's it honorable to get eaten by a bear?
No, really.
So,
how's it honorable for the samurais to walk into a gunfight with swords?
Because you're showing courage and stuff.
That's just stupidity.
Only a true samurai can kill him.
Ambushed by a bear doesn't show honor.
That's from
I'm sure if he had preferred...
He got ambushed? I thought he saw the bear.
No.
I thought like he gave his life.
He jumps off his horse... And he sees some, like, bear crap, and he starts digging around in it, right? And then his horse goes, oh, I'm scared by something, and takes off. Turns out it's a huge bear. And this bear towers over
him. So what was the point of this movie?
The point of this movie is...
Brad Pitt,
even though he was sexy, his life sucked.
Yeah, and the Aidan Quinn character is, like, the good guy. And he keeps saying to Brad Pitt, like, I've always ever done is followed the rules. I've loved so many people. I've done... so much for this world, and you've done nothing, and why does everyone choose to love you instead of me?
Wow, like so Aidan Quinn's like Nixon, and Brad Pitt's like Kennedy.
He's much nicer than Nixon. Okay. Much nicer than Nixon. Brad Pitt's more like Bill Clinton.
What?
Yeah. He's even less respected.
And Aidan Quinn's like which president, then?
Aidan Quinn is more like Harry Truman.
Okay.
I don't know.
We should always try to relate characters in movies to presidents.
And Anthony Hopkins is Millard Fillmore. And Henry Thomas is McKinley. And the Indian guy is Ulysses S. Grant.
Grant was pretty incompetent, though.
Well,
the Teapot Dome scandal and stuff.
He was also a drunk. That's why I picked the Indian. So, basically this bit...
I mean, there's a lot of corruption in his administration.
The point is, it's this beautiful, sprawling film about this, like, family that...
Most of these movies are really well photographed.
And then it ends with really choppy crap about a bear eating the guy.
Sounds
it's ridiculous.
Poorly put together ending.
And the bear was supposed to signify something, I don't know what, but it bothered me. I saw
his flightiness, perhaps.
You think bears are flighty? Yeah, we were on this set, and we saw bears, like, tromping down the hills. The
Black
guy
bears.
Stopped the boat, and the two bears, like, baby bears, came all the way to the edge of this little river.
We were, like 15 feet away from it.
Yeah, maybe even less, like, really close to
it.
And the mother was like,
yeah,
get
exactly,
out of there!
Exactly.
Her hair was, like, up on the back of her neck.
She was, like, basically calling to the kids, and they were like, nah. It was pretty funny.
And one of them was, like, leaning towards on the edge of this rock,
really,
and we were in the
him.
River,
yeah.
And he was, like, leaning in towards us, like, really checking us out.
You got
to
be careful.
Awesome.
Always be careful with the
cops. Is the bear going to go jump, like, jump the river and land on our boat?
I know. Well, we have pictures. It's pretty
freaking awesome. It was pretty cool.
Awesome.
It was fun.
I have a bear story. Can I tell it?
Go
even though
it
wasn't a movie.
Did you kill an infant bear?
I didn't kill an infant bear. I almost killed a bear. Anyway... There was a bear in the backyard eating the apples that had fallen from the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were, like, you know, checking it out. And it was a huge black bear, like 300 pounds. It was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like checking it out, and like it was just watching us watch it, and it didn't even care that we were there. And so we, it kind of made them nervous that it didn't care that we were there, because they have like little boys that are always running around, you know, out in the backyard. And
it wasn't anyway, affected by humans.
So it was not affected by us at all. Yeah. So
which can make them dangerous.
Exactly. So Derek goes and gets his gun, and he fires a warning shot into the air, and the bear just stands there and watches us.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when we decided it needed to die. But his mom was like, she was just really worried that it had cubs and they were going to be like momless or whatever. But at the same time, really they have like two young, you know, kids that I don't even think are in high school or anything yet. Like they are always running around outside, and this bear didn't even care that we fired a shot at it.
Yeah.
So by the time we let her into the fact that we needed to kill it, the bear had wandered off into the woods.
But you were seriously going to pull that
trigger. We had the gun loaded and pointed at it.
I'm proud of
you. We were going to kill it. It was really... Which I always am very against bear hunting for no logical reason whatsoever. It just makes me sad.
Another bear story. My dad killed a bear.
What?
It was running down a hill, and he tried to stop coming back from work one day years ago, and it just ran into the side of a Subaru.
Oh, so
and
sad.
He didn't know for
sure. Ran into the side.
Yeah, it just slammed into the side of his car. He tried to like slow down, try to speed up, and it just wouldn't stop coming. Like, and he tried to like he was going to stop, but there was cars behind him and stuff, and it was he said it was pretty young looking. Like, he's probably like, you know, older kid type bear, but he wasn't sure that he had killed it until he got home, and like the whole side of the car was caved in, and there was like. There was vomit and blood all over the side of the car. Like, it had just, like, exploded, basically, when it hit his car.
He didn't, like...
He felt terrible. No, he called Fish and Game, the police. Like, he stopped. He stopped, like, after a while. And he couldn't find the thing. So, like I said, it rolled down the hill or something. But,
That's so sad.
He felt awful. It was really... I hit a cat once. So, I drove back, and, like, it was, like, there was nothing on the road. So, I figured it crawled off into some, like, person's yard to die.
Did you, when you got back to where you were, did you get a flashlight out and check to see if it was up in the axle somewhere?
I got out my prayer beads and just
sat there quietly.
I hit a possum once, and I almost cried like a little baby.
What night? Tonight?
One night. Okay. Coming back from Reading.
I hate killing things. I don't like killing bugs. I don't like killing bugs.
I know I don't kill anything unless I want to eat it. So another good movie.
Is what?
Old Yeller.
Old Yeller.
It's a
Speaking
classic.
Of killing, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Speaking of killing.
Old Yeller
and then Cujo and...
You know, Cujo I've never seen.
Cujo's another rabid dog story.
It's not that good. It's Stephen King.
Yeah, it's not that good.
But isn't the whole time that dog rabbit, though?
Yeah.
It's not like a family
No, band. No, it's not. It's not.
It's not.
Old Yeller is really, like, one of those... Old Yeller and Bambi, like, Disney really excelled at making, like, heartbreaking, like, tragedy movies for kids to watch.
Yeah, most of these
like,
animal films...
And be, like, horrified by it. Like, kids watch these movies, and you're like, oh, this cute animal, and then it gets killed at the end, and you're like, what's the point of
it? It teaches you life.
Yeah.
Life's not always hunky-dory like in Cinderella. Well, Cinderella was always hunky-dory, but it's not never...
Happily
it's
ever
not
after.
Always happily ever after.
It's never happily
I think
ever
kids
after.
Should be able to believe that it is.
It is sometimes.
And then the age you turn... And then when you turn 13, after your bar mitzvah, your dad takes you out to a strip club and you watch a hooker die. And then you know. Then you become a man and learn about death.
Yeah, all these movies are pretty pretty like that, even if they're not in Disney films. Sometimes they're a little more, maybe a little more subtle.
Mm-hmm.
The Bear is pretty much like a Disney film. It's very contrived in terms of the little bits that happen. It's not it's not like a documentary. It's not not like that. Did you ever see Grizzly Man?
I was just gonna bring that up.
My
mom rented that thinking that it was about bears because she really likes bears. And they made it about 3/4 of the way through it, and then they're like, this is stupid. This guy's an idiot.
So did you not see him rant and rave?
No, I saw all the ranting and raving. We got to the point where, you know, he got, he became food.
It's an awesome movie.
Treadwell or whatever.
Yeah.
It was
Herzog's little, story about a...
I love Herzog's accent.
Weirdo that goes to live to... Yes.
Like,
you must never listen to these tapes.
Why did he ever decide to narrate his own film?
Like, because he likes his own sound. Like. The other film I watched was The Black Stallion. I watched that today, and I only watched the first one, forgetting that the second one is actually the better adventure picture. When I was a kid, I liked the second one a lot more, even though the second one's ending is sort of, well, it teaches you the most important lesson in life, which is if you love something, you have to set it free. Mm-hmm. But the very first half
That's the most important lesson in life?
Oh, yeah. That's one of the most important lessons.
Wait, we'll say it again. I'll clarify. I wasn't listening.
Yeah.
What's the lesson? I want to know.
Well, have you seen the Black Stallion movies? Yeah. Both one and two?
Yeah.
Well, okay, the statute of limitations on this. In the first Black Stallion film, it's this kid, Alec. So Alec's on a boat with his dad in 1946, Mediterranean. It's not Friday for the listeners that are familiar with Cure. Is it The Cure or Cure? I'm never sure.
The Cure.
Really? Okay. Yes. There's this horse, this Arabian horse, that's been kind of locked up in this part of the ship, and the kid sees it, and he's sort of quiet and unassuming, and feeds it some sugar cubes, and then the boat ends up going down at some point. Everybody's blowing up and crazy, and the horse is swimming in the water, and it's insane, and the kid grabs onto the horse and survives because he doesn't have a life vest because some guy stole it from him right before it happens. So the kid has a knife, and that's it. And he ends up on this island. And it's just him on this island for a while. And it's very artistically shot. It doesn't feel like it's like a movie because the pacing is really slow. Really, really slow. But it's very beautiful cinematography. And eventually he finds the horse. It's still got all these ropes and stuff on it. And it's tied up, sort of stuck in these rocks. And it's going to die. It's struggling and it's crazy and it's insane and it's wild and it's untamed. And the kid uses his knife to free it, and it runs off, and it's doing its own thing, and he's doing his own thing. He's alone. His dad is dead. He's trapped on some island in the Mediterranean, presumably.
Right.
He's like 10 or 11 or something. And there's minutes and minutes of no dialogue. This is essentially like a 40-minute sequence, this whole island sequence, and it's the sort of thing you wouldn't see in a movie these days. You just, I don't know, it's 1979.
Passed away.
But Castaway, the whole movie is about that, and he starts talking to the ball, and it's mm-hmm. Tom Hanks, and it's kind of the laundry list of if you're trying to survive. This is different because, first of all, I mean, it's like that's just the first part of the movie, so it's kind of like it's not even about. But what happens is, eventually the kid's sleeping. He's trying to follow the horse. He's trying to like create some kind of companionship with the horse because he's just curious about it because it's really strong. It's this like iconic image. This big black Arabian horse, and he's following it, and then he falls asleep on the beach, and this snake comes down, and this scared the hell out of me when I was a kid. I'm kind of afraid of snakes.
Pussy.
I grow a little backbone, right?
Yeah, grow a dick, grow some balls, get the sand out of your vagina.
I love snakes.
Oh, I don't love vagina. I don't hate all snakes. I just have like a. I had a fear. I really don't have it anymore. But that cobra thing bothered me when I was a kid.
Snakes freak me out a little bit.
You're afraid of them.
Who, me?
I can deal with things that I'm afraid of, though. I'm not phobic. So the kid wakes up and there's the cobra fully with the hood right there looking right at him. And he's like, he's gonna die. That's it. And the horse comes out of nowhere and saves his life. So it's like the horse has saved his life. He saved the horse's life. Then the horse saved his life again. And then in the end, he saves the horse's life again because he calls to the horse when he's been rescued. And then some other stuff happens, and he ends up racing the horse, and it becomes good. But then in the second one, the guys that like own the horse, these Arabian guys, come back, and they take it back to sand, and then crazy adventures ensue. It's like 1983 was when this one came out. Mm-hmm. And in the end, he just realizes he has to let the wild horse be wild, and he leaves it be. So that's the, if you love something, set it free. There you go. Okay, boom.
And if it comes back to you, it's meant to be, right?
Yeah, you always have to rhyme stuff. So yes.
No, I think I leave the second half off because
like
I think
Mariah
it's,
Carey says.
I think it's irrelevant.
Mariah Carey.
And not really worth thinking about. Just let it go. Overriding theme in animal films, I think there's a solitude and an alienation that I found in all and like at least in these two, the Alec kid in the Black Stallion. He not only is he like actually alone at the beginning, but like when he gets home, there's like a school like assembly, And he's just kind of sitting there bored while this girl's reading this poem about how brave he is. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's never any implication that he has any friends at school or anything. He's just, so he's very alone. Like, the horse is his only real companion. So there's right. this connection that he has. In the bear, it's the same thing. The cub is alone. But, so, it's about companionship, and I said a deep, profound friendship and love between living beings. I mean, that kind of just covers animal films. You know, either it's a person and a creature, or it's another two creatures.
Is a really, like, PETA type thing, and it's really kind of undermining, and I don't think it's completely true, which is...
No, there can be a lot of, like even in the end of the bear, there's all this sort of PETA-esque, like, political statements at the end, and it's pretty, negates some of it.
That you get out of these films is, even if you have a film where an animal isn't talking, it's become anthropomorphized.
Yeah,
that's totally what it's become. It's a person, to whoever's watching it.
Well, that's how we have to relate to stuff, unfortunately, as human beings.
And the sad thing is that, like, I think that has a lot to do with people growing up and being like, you know what? That, you know, that turkey over there is a person, so I'm not going to eat it, or something like that.
Well,
pushing their agenda on everyone else, you know?
Mm-hmm. And the danger is really, like, in, like, Grizzly Man, where he's, like, he has this, like, go live deliberately in the woods with these majestic giant bears, and then not realize that this is a wild animal.
Yeah,
this thing's
going to
fucking kill you.
They will kill you.
They're predators.
Sure.
And that's just sort of the relationship. There's this tentative relationship. See, that was the last part of my little notes there about, you know, nature and animals and nature and man. There's the three kind of interrelationships there, and they never quite get... I mean, even in the first, like, in the Black Stallion, it's like he's got, like, a friendship with the animal, but, at a certain point, he has to break the horse to ride the horse. He, you know, has to put things on it, and he uses it for a purpose. It's not like an equitable friendship. Mm-hmm. You could argue that all people use each other, but I'm not going to get into that right now.
I don't think that's true. That's really cynical, man.
Really? You think I'm being cynical? I'm actually in kind of a, like, non-cynical mood the last couple weeks.
Totally cynical,
well, I've been less cynical, though. I've been
which is still
partaking
more cynical
in a greater sense of whimsy, I guess.
Rachel's not even cynical. She's pretty cynical these days.
Oh, really?
You're pretty cynical, Rachel. Hey, Rachel, you know what's a good animal movie?
What's that?
The Fox and the Hound.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You like that one, right?
It is.
What do you think about The Fox and the Hound?
Actually, I've not seen it in a very long time.
It's good, though, right? That's another one that's kind of scary and, like, dark in parts because they're all trying to kill the fox in the end.
And he's supposed to hunt it.
Yeah, and then he doesn't. Like, that's the thing about, like, animals is that they have this friendship.
I know, it's
that,
so precious.
Like, goes beyond. And you know what? IRL, that would really happen because have you seen videos, like, on those animal...
Did you seriously just say IRL?
Yeah, IRL. Have you seen those, like, on the Animal Planet, they've got those, like, America's Funniest Home Animal Videos things? Mm-hmm. Have you seen the things where, like, a cat will find, like, a nest of baby birds and then, like, raise them? Have you seen that?
Yeah.
That sort of thing? Like,
uh-huh.
Like, animals will seriously, like, every once in a while just cause, like, strange friendships with each other.
Yep.
Like, animals that are supposed to be predators to another, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that Fox and the Hound is a great movie. It's great. It was actually really dark. I didn't like it that much when I was a kid. I really liked Robin Hood.
Hi, Robin.
Robin was sweet.
A fox, right? Or
he was totally a fox, yeah. He was a foxy one. And Maid Marian was hot.
Maid Marian was hot, and she was
hot
also
fox.
A fox.
And then Little John.
Foxy.
Little John was a bear.
Yes.
And it was the same voice as Baloo.
And he was not little at all.
He wasn't little, no. Maybe they're talking about his dick.
Baloo? Really? It was?
Well, it's the same voice as Baloo,
It was
totally.
I'm hearing it now. I just watched Jungle Book. What do you think about Fox and the Hound?
I don't think I've ever seen it.
You haven't seen
what?
Fox and the Hound?
But that's the duality one, right? That's the basic story. If you do the anthropomorphism, is that it's the two friends. It's like they both grew up in Brooklyn, but I'm the cop and you're the criminal kind
it's
of thing.
That sort
essentially,
of thing,
hound hunts the fox. The fox, but they were friends
but
as children.
They end up, the hound ends up letting him off the hook in the end.
Of course,
he's like, thanks, bro.
He's like, go.
And he's like, get out of here.
Get out of here.
Yeah,
exactly.
And there's like fire, and there's
which
like
pretty much
like,
screwed him over because then his owner's going to be like, you're no good to me.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly.
And probably shoot him in the head.
And there's another dog, and the other dog gets killed. Remember the mean dog that gets killed?
Yeah.
Yeah. serious stuff, man. This is serious business.
Well, the mean dog gets killed because he's mean. I think maybe the owner will learn something about it.
That's justice right there. That's a little lesson of justice.
Right here. You know, every Disney
Somebody's
movie has
got
animals
to
nail
that girl's fins to the floor.
You know that Sebastian just wanted to.
He didn't want to tap terrible, it. He did not
want to
tap
things
it.
To Ariel. It was a horny little crab, and he just wanted to. And Flounder, when Flounder, when he came of age, I mean, she's got a fish bottom half, right? He's got all fish halves. He can just, you know, it works.
Oh,
how do fish do it anyway? He shoots a cloud.
The,
he shoots
the girl
a cloud
will
of his
make
junk
a nest.
On top of some. Yeah, he shoots a cloud
eggs.
Of his stuff
yeah,
on top
he
of the.
Yeah, he swims
eggs.
Over and he's like, "Pa-ching!"
Yeah,
has to have good aim.
And then afterwards, they smoke cigarettes.
You know, dolphins.
Oh my gosh!
Do you want to know something interesting what? About animals? Since we're talking about animals,
yes,
and we're talking about sex.
I do.
Dolphins are the only other animal
they get enjoyment out of
besides humans that will have sex strictly for pleasure, and not
for pleasure, even
pleasure, and not for reproducing.
Wow,
is that interesting?
It just makes me even hornier for dolphins than I already.
Cobras!